you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and in this episode, I thought it would be fun to discuss gaming. We haven't talked gaming in a while, and I've been kind of heavy into it. Kind of re-adventuring into this land of gaming that I haven't participated in, except for Star Trek Online for the better half of a year. There's quite a bit of things that I've been kind of bookmarking and waiting until I had enough to kind of go on. And I kind of delved back into Battlefield 1 just to kind of see how it was. It's okay. I'm waiting for Battlefield 5, though, just to see what they do with it. I'm kind of over the whole Battlefield 1. I enjoy some of the maps, but some of the new stuff that's on the game right now, it's just not working. And plus, the last time I played it, after that last update, I've got a solid-state hard drive. I've got a pretty decent rig. I got the update for Battlefield 1, and the game has run kind of laggy and like crap. And I'm not entirely sure why. Unless they've upped their specs for the game. It's supposed to run smoother on the game, but it still takes forever to load. And then when you're in-game, it's not... I don't know, it's just not working out. I think it could have something to do with, too, I have AT&T for my internet service, and I am going to be going back to Comcast shortly, just because my year's up, and the price is going up, and so I'll be able to sign up for about half the cost I'm paying now for Comcast and get actually the same speed. So, if I paid what I'm paying now at AT&T, I could triple what I'm getting on AT&T through Comcast. So I may be making a return to game streaming soon with going back to Comcast, because like I said, AT&T kind of sucks for that. And I noticed that when I had switched to AT&T, my internet was not capable of doing a live stream, not only for games, but for video. So when I get the Comcast set up, I plan to do some live stream Altered Geek episodes, as well as live stream gaming. I'm not entirely sure what platform, though. And that's kind of what's got me a little puzzled. Like, I've been out of this a while, and I've been trying to do research on it. There's a bunch of players in the game. I know about Twitch. I know about YouTube Gaming. YouTube Gaming is by far the easiest for me to stream through. I have the setup for it. It's great. However, I know that a lot of people do Twitch. I also know that I just discovered a new site that I don't know how new it actually is, but it kind of reminds me of the MSN Gaming Zone. I used to watch, I used to play on the MSN Gaming Zone a lot, and this site is Mixer.com, and apparently you sign in with your Live, your Windows Live account, and get in the game and everything. And the roundabout way of saying this, like, there's a bunch of different players in the game. I know that Facebook is also letting PC gamers live stream and rewarding the viewers. There's like a new games SDK for PC. Because Facebook is trying to get into the game of Twitch and YouTube for video game live streaming supremacy. And I think it's kind of an interesting boat that you kind of can pick where you want to go. However, I think that it kind of... In light of everything that's happened with Facebook recently, I don't know if I'd really feel comfortable using them for my video streaming of my games. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but I don't know how I would feel with it. Same token, people already have the Facebook accounts, and you wouldn't have crazy trolls because most people are using their regular account. So it would be a lot harder to get just random trolls on there. You would get actual people. I see ups and downs with it, so there's that. But I'm debating. I have an account on Mixer. I have an account on Twitch, and I have an account on YouTube Gaming. And obviously, if you're considering Facebook, I technically have that as well. So it's just figuring out where the market is on those. I may go back to doing YouTube just because it's just easier for me to have these videos banked in there. Plus, it's SEO that I can link the video back to in my website. So I'm kind of toying with it. I'm not really sure what yet I'm going to do there. Some of the games I plan on going back to and streaming are probably going to be Battlefield 1, Battlefield 4, Star Trek Online. I may download I may reinstall some of my older games like Star Wars Pod Racer, which I actually think I still have installed. I'm trying to get my Beast Wars video game installed. Will not install. It's a Windows 95 game at best, and even with compatibility mode, it will not run. It's way too old. I think it came out in 97. The game quality is terrible. I just want to go back and see if I can actually play it now. I've done Pod Racer, which came out in 99, which I think is the threshold, and even that I had to fight to get it to work. The Beast Wars game, I cannot get it to work, period. And it's a little unfortunate. I'm kind of sad about it. I really don't want to download a Windows emulator or a another like virtual operating system thing. I just want to be able to play it. So it's kind of sad seeing a lot of these old games go by the wayside, because I would like to revisit some of them in my nostalgia. Maybe I'll go back and play some old 90s video games like Commander Keen and like Jazz Jackrabbit and things that I used to play. I still have a lot of it backed up on a external hard drive. So that may come to fruition in the future as well. So I don't know. Let me know what you guys think of the different streaming services, or if there's one that you prefer that I haven't mentioned, because like I said, I haven't been following it. I didn't even know some of these existed outside of Twitch and YouTube. So that's kind of where I'm at with this. And kind of the reason I thought about this in the first place is that my cousin actually told me about this. And she's an Uber driver in Las Vegas. And I was attempting to do more or less market research on I was explaining more or less that I'm a podcaster. I do a lot of different things to my family. We had a family get together, and she mentioned this streamer from Vegas that she drove around in an Uber. And it gave me the name, and I reached out, attempted to reach out and find out exactly like some of the methods, but I kind of got some of the answers I wanted in watching a stream. Because let's face it, I'm not the most personable, entertainer on a live stream as opposed to a podcast, because a podcast I can kind of talk and I'm not worried about trying to fill space with air of voice, whatever. If I'm playing a game, I kind of zone out, and that's difficult for me to actually remember to speak, because I tend to get into the game and then I play. But I guess that's where you have, you know, your chat window going up on the side, so you can kind of respond and pay attention in between various actions in the game. So anyways, this person streams on Mixer, which is, again, how I found out about it. It's Kaylee J, like K-A-E-L-I-J-A-E. So anyways, I went into her stream, and I started kind of watching. She's playing Fortnite. I've heard of the game, never played it. And it looks entertaining. I didn't realize, though, that it came out by the Unreal team. The people that did Unreal Tournament. And I am a huge fan of Unreal Tournament. I may even bring that game back in because I have all the CDs still. Or DVDs of the install discs. I had Unreal Tournament 99 at one point, but I think that's gone. I have 2004 and 2007. And then they just came out with, like, basically Unreal Tournament 4, but they just redubbed it Unreal Tournament, just regular. It's in, like, alpha or something like that. It's been that way for, like, 3 years. I played it earlier on a couple of years ago while I was recording this podcast, and I'm tempted to go back and see what they've done to it since then. I don't see much on their social channels of things that have been changed in the last year, but I did check their website, and they've been apparently updating it. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's going on there. I may revisit that as well. But anyways, I was trying to kind of rediscover how this whole streaming thing works, because I've been interested in live streaming for the better part of 8 years. I wanted to get into it, and in 2010, didn't really know what it took, didn't have a webcam, didn't know the software, didn't really have time. And then I really wanted to do like GCRN Live in 2012, never got around to doing anything with it. The initial plans and the processes were too complicated, at least for what I was trying to do. And there were simpler methods of doing it. I just didn't have the technical know-how. So that being said, I don't really know what I'm doing as far as that, but I've kind of figured out now at least how that would work. But it's just figuring out what platform I want to go to. I kind of want to shy away from YouTube only for the fact that they seem to be kind of butchering people too, though, like terminating people for no reasons or... and then people, I don't know, I may try out this Mixer thing just because it seems pretty straightforward. You got your chat window, you got the subs, you got the following. It shows what game, how many people are watching, and stuff like that. It seems pretty straightforward. And that's kind of what I'm looking for at this point. YouTube, there were too many different windows that had to pop up. Twitch, I never understood Twitch. I understand why it works and what it does, but it does seem like it's got more of a, you can find channels easier on it, but for viewing your own channel, I think Mixer is easier as far as what I've noticed. Yeah, that's just my thoughts on the streaming side of things. So anyways, I saw some kind of cool news. There's an article on Instructables.com where they have NES in a cartridge. And I thought it was kind of cool. Every now and again, I find these Instructable things, and I think that they're really cool. It came from the Silicon Junkie person. So anyways, he took a cartridge of the original Super Mario Brothers. It's literally the cartridge. Like, he gutted the interior. It's got a light on it, an on-off switch, two ports for the controllers, and then a slot to plug in the actual cartridge on it. And it's a Chinese Famicom clone console, basically NES on a chip, because they're fully functioning Nintendo Entertainment Systems on one chip. So they include like a 60-pin Famicom game port, which is normal. It can be converted to like 72-pin NES game port. They plug this thing in, and it works on the TV. I think it's really cool how they did this, but it's a lot of the Chinese, they use like the Power Player unit. For Super Entertainment System, it's like a knockoff cheap system. Basically it's a lot of taking things apart and putting it back together, which I would totally be into if I knew how to do it. But they give you like the whole instructions on how to do this thing, and it's like a portable Nintendo, which I would be totally down for. So, something else I wanted to get to in this episode, because I'm talking gaming, has to do with not only some of like Battlefield 1 stuff, but there's a new site that will warn you which games have microtransactions in them. And I know we've talked about DLC, microtransactions, loot boxes, all this other garbage that all these games nowadays seem to do. Even Battlefield's Star Trek Online, they all do it. Every game I've played in the last like 5 years have done it. Diablo 2's done stuff like it, I think. Or Diablo 3, I mean. I'm not a big one for microtransactions, although they can be addicting in the wrong setup. Like, I've bought Zen in-game for Star Trek Online more than I care to recall. Going back on the history of it. And it allows you to get a lot of in-game credit towards ships or other money sources in the game. So anyways, this site, the microtransaction.zone, recently launched a couple days ago, or like a week ago or something. And going on their site, they have a very minimalistic view. They have their Twitter page embedded. They have their blog. They launched it last Wednesday, it appears. And they have game ratings, which tells whether it's spotless. Like, they have these nice little emoji buttons at the bottom of each title. So, like, if you go, for instance, Overwatch, tells you which systems, PC, Xbox, PS4. It says, basically, Overwatch has recently had its loot boxes declared illegal gambling by the government of Belgium. And you know, it's just people writing those things. But there's multiple options. I see 9 options. One says spotless. You buy the game. You own the game. Full stop. Horse armor. Some cheap minor DLC. No randomization involved. Expansive expansions is paid DLC reminiscent of additional expansion packs, actual content for actual money. It's not gambling, we swear. Loot boxes with randomized contents, buyable with real money. Infinite money hole. No upper limit on in-game purchases. It's not just cosmetic. Content with gameplay altering effects, buyable with real money. Buy first, you'll need a contract. A game-specific paid subscription service. Table for one. Multiplayer contains additional monetization, but single player doesn't. And free to play. No upfront purchase required to begin playing. And so, you know, like Overwatch, it's got the things highlighted for horse armor. It's not gambling, we swear, and an infinite money hole. And then if you look at StarCraft, the old StarCraft, it says expansive expansions is highlighted in free to play. And then it's actually kind of refreshing to see a site like this in today's age, and I'm surprised it's taken this long, because honestly, it's just getting a bit ridiculous how much of this is taking effect in gaming. So Battlefield 4, this one resonates with me really well. Wow, DC Universe Online. I forgot about that game. I still have that. I should try and revisit it. Battlefield 4, it says bulk order horse armor expansive expansions, and it's not just cosmetic, as their 3 highlights. DC Universe has expansive expansions. It's not gambling, we swear. Infinite money hole, and it's not just cosmetic and free to play. I wonder if they got Star Trek Online on here. Mostly because I'm playing it. I want to see what their rating is. I'm going to try this. I have the website open, I just hadn't... here we go. Star Trek Online. Holy crap. This is sad. They've got bulk order horse armor highlighted. It's not gambling, we swear. It is. It is gambling. With their loot boxes, it is horribly gambling. I've been screwed so many times by that I will not spend money on that unless I buy the... Out of the dilithium in the game, I buy the keys, sell them on the market so that I can get the electronic credits in-game. which allowed me to buy things on the exchange much cheaper than what it would cost me to gamble away time. I did that with the Kelvin Universe Constitution class starship, which turned out nice for me. I did that as well for getting parts that I could buy stuff from the fleet store. I bought a All Good Things Enterprise with the triple nacelle, and they gave away as a part of their 8-year anniversary, like the Defiant with a cloaking device, and I got the ship specifically because I could take the console from the Defiant and put it on the Galaxy class Dreadnought, which could do everything that the other ship could plus more, and it cloaks, so I have an Enterprise that cloaks just like in All Good Things. And then they've got Infinite Money Hole. It's not just cosmetic. They actually have a lot of cosmetic purchases too, though. But first, you'll need a contract. They do have some paid subscription, not really anymore. I mean, you can pay for like their lifetime membership thing, which gets you certain things, but there's no reason for it. And then it's got free to play. So yeah. Not surprising. So anyways, I definitely recommend going to microtransaction.zone to check any games that you might be thinking of playing. They just started, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what comes out of it, being that they've only been out about a week and a half now at this point. I'm really, really loving the option to be able to look into games before you start playing them, because most games nowadays have microtransactions up the wazoo, and it's getting expensive. So definitely recommend checking out that site for any of your microtransaction needs. So moving on to Battlefield 1, new Battlefield 1 mode on the way, monthly updates, and soon all players will be able to try out certain DLC maps for free too. It's been a little over a year and a half, and I've been playing it for technically 2 years if you consider the alpha and the beta that I got in on, which it doesn't seem like it's been 2 years now. But they've released numerous DLC packs, content updates, and whatnot. There's a few updates left, but monthly patches are going to end in June. The final DLC pack is available. The studio is going to be going winding down and kind of moving towards Battlefield 5, which means it's another money pit. I probably won't buy the game. I hope I get alpha and beta access to it again, and maybe it'll win me over. I don't know. Battlefield 5 is supposed to feature numerous stories as part of its overarching campaign. We'll have a co-op mode. It's not been fully announced what all is going to be in the new game, but it's going to be coming next year. Or later this year, probably this fall, late fall, early winter, something in that. So yeah, I'm enthusiastic. And then that really is all my gaming stuff, like wrapped all into one nice little package. I'll have the Star Trek Online specifics of a lot of their updates in that show, but some of the highlights of Star Trek Online that are coming down the pipe, for those that are still playing or looking to play. Right now they've got their Delta Officer return, like they're returning to the Delta Officers. So you can... it's like the Delta Quadrant Force. Like they're kind of building up. It's very pointed as far as... you have to create a new character. They did it a few years ago, like 2014 or something, but it's very pointed so that you can get up and running much faster. You're still playing the game at the general normal pace, but you get a special console where your future self converses with your past self, gives you a console, and you can claim these Delta various consoles, and it gives you new add-ons that will... Basically, it gives you a bunch of free crap just from going through the game, but it adds an extra console and certain missions where you can toggle it, and then after you complete said mission, it allows you to claim items that are in these boxes for free. But when Victory is Life comes out, the next expansion in June, they're upping the level cap from 60 to 65, which is the first time since Delta Rising in 2014 that they've done this. All gear will be able to go up to, equipment will go up to MK15, and so there'll be new things to experience anyway in that realm. The level 61, they're going to give a tier 5 ship token and tier 5 ship upgrade token to make it a tier 5 upgrade, which is kind of cool because I'll be able to get a free ship of whatever I want on all of my active characters when I hit that point. So I'm kind of looking forward to that just because I get to pick out a random ship. I'm thinking I really want to get a... I don't know if I'll be able to upgrade my Sovereign class, but I'm hoping an Excelsior class is in that boat to upgrade. Because I've been wanting to try out the Excelsior, I don't want to spend the money on it. It's a premium item. 62, they give you a specialization qualification manual to be either Intel, Command Pilot, Temp Op, or Miracle Worker. 63, they give you a new captain ability for space combat. 64, they give you an elite Gamma Quadrant Duty Officers roster, which will be kind of cool. Basically, alien species seen on DS9. And then in 65, they give you an epic Admiralty ship, the CUV Tane. The ship of Elam Garrick himself can be called to aid you on Admiralty missions. So I'm looking forward to the new game when it comes out, or new expansion. I'm kind of bored out of my mind in the game. But they do have a ton of characters returning for that, so of DS9 that I'm looking forward to. So anyways, that I think about rounds out this episode of Altered Geek. So until next time, you can get a hold of us by reaching on Twitter at Altered Geek, myself at SCP21. You can use the hashtag if you've got something geeky you'd like to talk about with What's Geeky to You. And until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.